Discernment and conversion, simultaneously, Trinitarian and Christocentric spirituality. From Ignatius' autobiography and his other work, Spiritual Diary, we find dramatic, mystical experience, locutions from the Father in Christ, including his developing mystical ability to discern spirits. Ignatius, so here's one point between Christianity and religious forms that are not Christianity. Ignatius never sought mysticism for its own sake, but mainly for its ability to teach and confirm God's will. We don't sit here and open our mind and let everything go and not, no. We are super focused on Christ and in particular what his will is in our lives. So who is Father Gallagher? Timothy Gallagher was ordained to the priesthood in 1979 as part of the Congregation of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. He obtained his doctorate from the Pontifical Gregorian University, and he's taught at a variety of seminaries, including, in St. John Vianney Theological Seminary in Denver. He has written over 20 books on spiritual themes, published numerous articles, and on it goes. He has a website, fathertimothygallagher.org. He has Catholic podcasts at discerninghearts.com. You can find him on YouTube. So we in no way mean to eclipse Father's own excellent and beautiful video presentations. What we're doing is just applying these insights into that broader theme that we have going on is how do we apply it as wives and mothers within this analogy of a garden. So Father Gallagher's intended audience and retreat directors, mothers, retreatants, well, that's me, students of spiritual theology, that it better be all of us, others interested in deepening their spiritual lives, I hope that's all of us. And that's from Harvey Egan. He too is a professor.
Yeah, I mean, it's of a great essence, especially at this time when so many people are being led astray by an inappropriate understanding of spirituality. What does that mean? Right. And, you know, because you see it among the youth where acceptance of religion is being eschewed while the acceptance of a quote unquote ephemeral spirituality is being accepted as some kind of, you know, substitute towards, you know, I don't know, authentic religion, religiosity, which is the way that the human person is made, right? We are designed to be a religious people. And it's really important because it's so very, very easy to go astray when you are dealing with really what is the realm that is unseen, right? What we're talking about right now is not only the divine will, but being able to discern not just God's will in our life, but to discern the interactions of the principalities and powers that are at war. We don't see it, right? We would pray that there could be a peace between them, but there is a constant war that is being battled for the soul of each individual human being. And angels are way smarter than us. There's just no getting around it. They have an infused knowledge that is part of their own creation, where there's no effort upon them to know what they know. They just know it. And they don't sleep, they don't eat. And so consequently, we are constantly ourselves in our weakened human condition. Not that it's a negative to have our human condition. It's a great, great mercy from God. But we have to be cognizant of that, particularly in those of us who are Catholic, to put our care and keep under the guardianship of our angel who has our best interest at heart so that we can truly be open to the will of God and not be easily swayed by the spirits of the world.
That's right. The overview of his book is twofold. So there is a method of presenting these rules based on two convictions. So he has two convictions. The first is the most effective way to convey the full teaching of these rules is to examine attentively what Ignatius actually writes, to explore the rules phrase by phrase, at times word by word, just as he wrote them. And in that sense, it can seem pedantic, like Thomas Aquinas. He writes very precisely and seemingly short sentences, but they are packed with meaning. And you have to, one really has to take their time as you read it. And Aquinas is the same way. And in this opinion, some translations will do this, and it's going to make Ignatius's style hard, complicated, and difficult. We'll run into one of the rules where he uses what some moderns might, the 12th rule. It's the 12th rule on a weak woman. And yes, standing strong to the weak woman. And so I appreciated Father Gallagher's courage, and also the context that he puts that rule within, because a number of modern authors today would have not been as faithful to the actual words of Ignatius. So the second conviction is that since these rules are born of experience, he's a military man. He's very concrete. They are best explained by constant references to experience. And so Sarah just said something. Okay, yes, to experience. So that's going back to, remember, realistic epistemology, one of our guideposts, sound reasoning, Aristotelian thought. But prior to that, going back to military. So a military man, to be successful, has to have plans that are actually going to work with the experience of the men he has. Not projections of men, not hoped for men, but the actual ones he has. And so that makes him really concrete and really astute and looking at patterns and opportunities. And that's where these rules come from, is his studied experience of many, 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 many people over a long time. Yes. Ignatius composed these rules for those who would guide in his spiritual exercises, which is a time of prayer and of seeking God's will. So he presumes that these guides, the retreatants, will know these rules and be able to explain them to the retreatants.
And the way that the Ignatian spirituality has been set up is that generally, you know, these rules are supposed to be, you know, studied over a long period of time, right? I mean, this is supposed to be 30 days of kind of a constant immersion, 30 to 33 days of a constant immersion into a very intense but very directed approach to engage with things that are Christological, right? As you said before, one of the things that is very distinct in the separation between, say, just a generic Eastern mysticism or an Eastern spirituality as opposed to Christian mysticism and Christian spirituality is that the Eastern mysticism tends to seek a void, right? A nothingness or a universalism, whereas the point of the Christian mysticism is to enter into relationship with someone. And these rules really assist us, like you said, to know ourselves so that we can purge ourselves of the things that are going to be a hindrance to us to enter into relationship with this relationship, with this person rather, and then at the same time motivate us where we see that we actually do have certain strengths that are already directed towards that end. So and it's very succinct. Like you said, it's not wordy, but each word is packed with meaning. You know, you could spend 20, 30, 40 minutes just hovering over one of his lines in meditation. And actually that's recommended, right? Because if you have 30 days to go through, what is it, 14 rules? Yeah, he's expecting you to spend a little bit of time in prayer pondering these words. And I don't know if you've seen it anywhere, and I don't know if it's actually true, but I had always heard somewhere that that really the belief was that these rules were given to Ignatius from the hands of Our Lady, right? Almost completely written. So it's almost also a little bit of a guidebook presented to us by our Blessed Mother, you know, really to her children, to tell them how to avoid difficulties and to, you know, gain graces, really, to be open to a life of grace.
Well, they are certainly formulated. Let's pick up this concept. How do mothers teach in the next episode? Till then, my friends, fide serratio.